This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch.
Presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
With Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Time to feed you some more football on this Thanksgiving Wednesday. Before we get to Vinny's film breakdown of Jalen Hurts and that Eagles offense coming in highly regarded in a lot of areas. Tom Pelissera, NFL Network, tweeted this out about an hour ago. Charlie Kohler expected to miss at least 4 weeks after breaking his arm Monday night in the win against the Chargers. Jeff Zrebeck from The Athletic tweets out, left SoFi, right arm wrist wrapped in a sling. Number three tight end. We know that his role has grown, especially in the run game.
No doubt.
Blocking.
No doubt.
So he's going to be gone. You still have Andrews and likely Patrick Ricard. Zaire Mitchell-Payton is on the practice squad, but Kohler out at least 4 weeks. Tough blow for the Ravens here late November.
Yeah, I mean, because we were just praising him the other day about how his blocking has gotten better, you know, and he did have a catch. He makes like a clutch catch every here and there, and I'm guessing that Ricard will be that guy now, but he doesn't catch or run routes like Charlie does, so... Yeah, that's going to hurt them. That's going to hurt. Or maybe they're going to put another old lineman in there type thing. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what they do.
All right, we talked earlier about the Eagles' defense as Vinny broke them down on film. Let's get to that offense. Philadelphia, 9-2, winners of 7 in a row.
Yeah, the offense is good offense. And Saquon Barkley makes it a great offense because he can do so many things, catching and running. The things that he can do with the football and his speed and vision, he's an outstanding football player, and so is A.J. Brown. I like A.J. Brown a lot. He's a hell of a receiver. He's big. He's almost 230 pounds, so it's a big receiver that can create some separations. Now, if Devontae Smith is not there and Jahan Dotson's playing, then it's a one-man gang at wide receiver. Dallas Goedert is a good receiving tight end. Average blocker. He can get down the field. They'll like to throw it to him short. Now, the O-line is pretty good. Jordan Malatala, the left tackle. They're all huge. I mean, they're big dudes. But he can be beat. And I think Owe can give him some problems on the outside with his speed. On the inside, they got a new center because Kelsey left. Juergens, smaller guy. And the right guard, Mekhi Becton, has really improved. He was first-round pick by the Jets.
Yep.
And now he'll have some trouble because he's so big that he'll bend at the waist some. And you know, Madubuike could cause him some problems because of the quickness. You know, bigger guys like that. He and Falele are probably similar in that respect, where the quickness and stuff causes him some problems. Lane Johnson's been around a long time. He could have some problems with some speed. They have a chance to be able to get some rush there. I think on the inside and then against their offensive line, I think stunting and stuff and making those guys move, I think, will be big. And then I'm guessing they'll keep using Malik Harrison to blitz and those kind of things. I think they'll be able to get some pressure on Hurts. And Hurts loves to get out of the pocket. He loves to get out of the pocket. And I said in keys, keep him in the pocket. Because he scrambles. And he had 12 carries last week. They run a lot of plays for him to run the football. So they'll be running it a lot with him. And they're going to want to run the ball a lot. I mean, with Saquon and with him. Between the two, I think they had 38 rushes between the two guys. So they want to run the football. The O-line, they do a decent job comboing up. They'll have two tight ends on there a lot. And they'll use their tight ends to try to get up onto the linebackers. So it'll be an interesting game because I think the O-line's good. I think the tight ends are pretty good. A.J. Brown's good. Running back's great. And I think the tight end's pretty good. So it's going to be a hell of a challenge for the Ravens. Now, if we want to take a look at a couple of these Ravens or Eagles stats, I mean, the Eagles' defense is number one. They're number one on defense. Total defense, they're number one. How about against the pass? They're third. Against the rush, they're seventh. And they only give up 18 points a game. So they're pretty studly there. And the completion percentage, they're fifth. They give up 62. Average per completion, they're number one. 6.1, where the Ravens average per completion, the Ravens are two, average 8.9. Sacks, they're eighth with 33. Quarterback rating, they give up a quarterback rating of 81.3, where Lamar is number one at 117.8. Yep. Average per rush, 11th, 4.3. Now, the Rams running it right at them, they gained some yards. Ravens are going to be able to gain some yards. Now, third down, they're outstanding. They're third and third down, 32-6. But you know what? Chargers were number two, and the Ravens were like almost 50% there. Now, the Eagles are a plus three. When you look at the Eagles offense, they're third offensively. But passing, they're 25th. 25th pass offense, 195 yards a game. And that's where, you know, if you can slow down Barkley and they're having trouble running, then you gain the advantage. Because then you put all the pressure on Hurts, and all of a sudden you make him have to make plays instead of being, you know, an assist guy. Rushing offense, they're number one. Ravens are two. They average 27 points a game, and they give up 18. Passing attempts, Bob, they're last in the league. They throw it the least amount of anybody. Completion percentage, they're fifth, 68.8. Average per completion, though, they're fifth, 8.3. So everybody keeps talking about they like to throw deep. They like, you know, Hurts likes to throw deep. And watching the Ravens film, Bob, last week, I'd throw deep too because you know what? I may catch it or I may get a PI, depending on, I guess, the crew that you get. But the Ravens have struggled some defending the deep ball. Sacks, they're 12th with 30. So he does get sacked quite a bit. Quarterback rating, he's 6th at 101.6. Rush attempts, they're number one in the league with 409. The Ravens have 375. Average per rush, they're number two, the Eagles, at 5.2. Ravens are number one at 5.8. Third down conversions, Eagles offense is 7th, 43.1. And you know why? Because they went on first down. That's the biggest reason. And you know who's third? Ravens at 47%. The thing the Eagles don't do much, they don't have a lot of penalties. They're 22nd with 66, whereas the Ravens are first at 101.
Yep. And another thing to keep, you mentioned the Eagles defense real quick.
Yeah.
Last week against Sandy Chargers. Ravens have the number one red zone offense. Chargers were what, like third or fourth?
Yes.
Philly's fifth. So yeah. Kind of the same thing going on here.
And the Ravens, I think, converted every time. And Ravens are with Lamar. See, the, like the difference between Hurts and Lamar is Lamar's a much better natural runner and stuff than Hurts is. So, you know, those run pass option type things down in the red zone and stuff, that's tough, especially when you got a big old back that's 250 pounds. Now, the Eagles, Bob, they're going to run a lot of run pass option type stuff.
It's 58-80-105-7 The Fan. We'll come back, talk to Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com. Preview week 13 with him real quick. Daniel Jones signs with the Vikings. Practice squad, the guy that replaced him as the starting quarterback with the Giants. Tommy DeVito, he's doubtful, long shot to play, according to sources. And J.K. Dobbins got hurt Monday night. Chargers against the Ravens. He is week to week with a sprained MCL. So some updated NFL news for you here on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bob ADV Serato, week 13 of the NFL season starts tomorrow. Here to preview that, he's on the Window Nation guest hotline here on The Fan. He's from CBSSports.com. He's our friend and yours, Ryan Wilson. Ryan, what's up?
Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Happy Thanksgiving, Ryan. You got the Cleveland Browns, right? We've been talking about this throughout the early part of the show anyway. They're at Denver, they're at Pittsburgh, they got Kansas City, they're at Cincy, they play Miami, they play Baltimore. They play, everybody on their schedule's got some sort of playoff hopes. So the Browns themselves probably don't, but how big of a role might Cleveland be ultimately in deciding division champs and playoff seeding here?
Yeah, I wonder, unless they're playing the Steelers or the Ravens, if they show up, because they got steamrolled by the Saints the week before, and that was the, you know, the Jameis Winston's coming home game, and none of that mattered. We saw what Myles Garrett did on Thursday night against the Steelers. He was unstoppable, but they don't have a lot of players. And you watch that Saints game, I didn't know if they were just going tackling optional defensively, because it was embarrassing to watch at times. Jerry Jeudy had a big game against Pittsburgh. He's not lived up to expectations. So I think we're going to find out more about Bo Nix in Denver, and I give that kid credit because he's doing what he's asked and he's executing. The Chiefs game will be interesting because every year we fall for the trap that the Chiefs aren't who they once were and they find a way to get to the Super Bowl. But offensively, they have not looked good, and they should have lost probably the last 2 weeks. So I think the Steelers game, week 14, and the Ravens game, week 18, both on the road for the Browns, might be their last chance at a Super Bowl, but I don't think they're going to be instrumental in doing anything except when they get up to those hype games against AFC North opponents.
Now, you talk about not living up to expectations as a team. Houston, look, they lead their division. They'd be the four seed if the playoffs started today, but they're 7-5. What excuses / reasons are we using for Houston maybe not being near the top of the standings and C.J. Stroud not being an MVP candidate in year two?
Yeah. My Super Bowl pick back in August was Houston making their way to it on the AFC side. And I think part of the issue is the offensive line inconsistency. They've had some injuries and struggles there. And I think it starts there. You know, we made fun of Sam Darnold for seeing ghosts a few years ago. But you talk to quarterbacks and they'll tell you that that's a real thing, especially if after, you know, 12 weeks of getting your brains beaten in because of offensive linemen, you start to panic. You leave the pocket early. You throw the ball too early. Receivers on that was routes, so on and so forth. And I think we're seeing part of that. Nico Collins is out for a long time. Stephon Diggs is done for the year. Joe Mixon has actually been pretty good. Didn't do much last week. But I don't think you can't come up with enough excuses to lose to the Titans, a two-win team. And, you know, Will Levis is throwing pick sixes like he does. It feels like more often than not. I think it's the offensive line struggling, and it's just I don't want to call it a sophomore slump because CJ's a good player, but he set the bar so high last year that he hasn't lived up to it yet this year.
Hey, Ryan, the Steelers have a tough schedule down the stretch here. I have a hard time believing that they're going to beat the Bengals, and then if that's the case, then they got Philly, and then you got, you know, Kansas City, the Ravens. What do you think about the Steelers?
I thought they'd be 10-7. Early at the beginning of the season, Finney, and I thought 6-2 before the bye was realistic. I thought they would struggle against Washington and Baltimore. They won those games. And then, you know, you go and lose to the Cleveland game. And that hurts for a couple of reasons. Number one, for the issues you're talking about, down the stretch is going to be tough. And number two, you allowed the Ravens to get back in it with their impressive performance on the road on Monday night. I'm going to be interested to see how this Browns game plays itself out because Joe Burrow's kryptonite is T.J. Watt. And T.J. didn't have a big game against the Browns, and he'll be motivated. But the Steelers got to get out of their own way. The offense with Russ isn't bad, and the running game's been up and down, but Russ jump balls to George Pickens are a real thing. The defense has to play better, and we know, I don't know if there's a tougher person in football right now than Joe Burrow because he does a lot with a little. But this offense just finds ways to shoot itself in the foot, and the defense has been terrible. So this will be a true measuring stick. I still think they probably get to 10 wins, and then the question becomes how far down the top 7 teams are they in terms of traveling in week one of the playoffs.
Hey, Ryan, on Sunday we got the number one rush team versus number two rush team. You got number one rush defense. Something's got to give. What do you think about on Sunday?
You talking Eagles or Ravens?
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, I still don't trust the Eagles. I feel better about the Ravens. And, you know, people talk about Lamar and not being able to beat the Steelers. Well, he didn't turn the ball over 3 times, and Peyton Wilson didn't make the best play of his life every single week. I thought the defense is playing better, and that's encouraging, even though they had some guys out last week, including Roquan. And I like Vic Fangio and the Ravens, the Eagles defense. I want to see what happens if the Eagles get down 10 points or so, and if Jalen Hurts is capable of mounting the comeback. We know Lamar can do that.
Yep.
And I think the way Derrick Henry's playing, Justice Hill's a nice change of pace, and Lamar's not running as much as he used to, and I'd like to see a little bit more of that. But I like where the Ravens are, and the two blip losses to the Browns and the Steelers, I just mark up to being familiarity within the division.
Now, Ryan, you know who I was happy to see have a good game last week? Bryce Young. I was happy to see him play well last week.
Yeah, man, it just goes to show you, number one, we're all quick to jump on these kids when they have two bad games, and then we're all quick to anoint these kids when they have a great start like Jaden did, and Jaden Daniels is playing well. But Caleb's coming along the last few weeks. Bo Nix, as I mentioned, has been as consistent as they come. And Bryce Young, you know, you throw anyone on that team last year, and good luck to you. And I give him credit for taking his bench in like a man and then getting his opportunity and making plays. This was the first time, Vinny, and you guys know this, since Alabama, that he looked like anything close to that Bryce Young.
Yep.
You got to help him out, and if you help him out, put guys around him, the offensive line plays better, you got a chance, and that's what you want. So now the question becomes, how much do you believe in Bryce going forward? Are you going to try to reset this thing in the offseason?
Hey, Ryan, one draft question. What's the draft strong at? What's the first round really deep at?
Defensive line. If you need an edge rusher or an interior defensive lineman, this is the draft for you. If you need a wide receiver, quarterback, offensive tackle, this is not the draft for you. So if you need to solidify the interior of that defensive line, come one, come all. There'll be some cornerbacks out there, but some guys are banged up coming off season-ending injuries in 24, so you're sort of projecting there. But there's some dudes there as well. And then, of course, the Travis Hunter situation will be fun to talk about. But front four, come on down. You're gonna have some dudes available for you.
Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com, joins us every Wednesday here on 105.7 The Fan. Ryan, last thing for you, getting back to the NFL with the Jets. Debacle, coach gone, GM, see you later. Aaron Rodgers said if he wants to play next year, he'd prefer it's with New York. I mean, that's all very touching. If you're the Jets, are you like, nah, we're good?
I would be. And it's funny, guys, because my my colleague on the with the First Pick podcast is Rick Spielman, who, along with Mike Tannenbaum, is on the search committee, sort of what he did last year with the Commanders. And he said on the podcast yesterday that right now, you know, you can read between the lines if you want, they're just getting a feel of what the ownership is looking for. So they need a GM and they need a head coach. And then once they get down that road, they'll answer questions about the quarterback. But why are you bringing back a 41-year-old quarterback on a team that you're completely rebuilding? And also, by the way, the reasons those guys are out of jobs, the head coach and GM, have a lot to do with the 41-year-old quarterback. So appreciate your service. Here's your gold watch. You got to find a quarterback going forward, and that's the biggest issue after they check off all the other boxes with GM and head coach in New York.
Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com. Ryan, always appreciate the time. Happy Thanksgiving and holidays to you and the family, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Ryan.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Yep. There he is, Ryan Wilson, everyone. Oh, boy, his work day's not over yet. He's got to do all the draft stuff. He's got to talk to the NFL. Ryan Wilson's a busy, busy man earning that big paycheck for CBSSports.com. We'll come back, reset the program for you. If you want to get in, you can at 410-583-1057. Vinny, you're leaving?
Yep. Penn State hockey game at 4:30 today, so I'm heading up there. So happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
All right, happy Thanksgiving to you. I'll see you Sunday at the Baltimore Game Day Uncensored pregame show live from Brew Brothers Horseshoe Casino. But me and Nolan coming back next. You want to get in? We're here for you. There's a ranked Big Ten basketball team getting their pants pulled down and spanked red. We'll tell you who that is when we come back.
Your sports information station, 105.7 The Fan.
Woman Crush Wednesday, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Vinny's gone. Me and Nolan are here. Inside Access taking over at 2 o'clock. If you want to squeeze in, now's the chance to do so. 410-583-1057. Maryland basketball coming up later this afternoon on The Fan. 3:30 tip, taking on Bucknell. Terps right now 5-1 on the year, coming from behind to beat Villanova. Bucknell coming in here at 4-3 in the Patriot League. Maryland, big favorites in this game. If you're looking to make a little wager on some Thanksgiving, pre-Thanksgiving round ball, but for Maryland, just stacking some wins. I mean, things get a little interesting here with conference play coming up next week. You still have Syracuse mixed in there as well. So, Terps, Derek Queen was the freshman of the week in the Big Ten last week as he helped spearhead Maryland's win against Villanova. Maryland's only loss against Marquette, and they're legit. Top 10, top 15 ball club. But we'll be talking about Maryland a lot, hopefully, this season, because I've said many times before, and I'll say it again, and if you're of a certain age, probably already know this, Maryland hoops sleeping giant. I've been doing sports talk in this city for 26 years, go back to 98. When I started the basketball show at WNST. And its first incarnation. It's Orioles, Ravens, Terps, Hoops. That's the top three. And for a time there, in the early 2000s especially, Maryland basketball was bigger than the Orioles. Because the Orioles sucked. And the Terps were going to Sweet 16s, eventually Final Fours, winning national championships. Gary was bringing in these top 10 recruiting classes. Kind of fell off the grid a little bit there. And Mark Turgeon had a couple of good teams. And Nolan, he had the great unknown team, the 2000 COVID year. And we could sit here and speculate as to how far they could have gone in the NCAA tournament with Jalen Smith and Wiggins and Anthony Cowens and all of those guys. Cowan. But then again, they could have not made it out of the first weekend like the team before. Did. No, they got hosed bad officiating against LSU in the second round, if you remember that infamous game. But that great unknown, co-Big Ten champs, I don't know. I can't put any, like, a finger on, like, 1974, 50 years ago, Maryland team, they get to the tournament, they're probably making a deep run. 2000 Maryland, I don't know. And the team that was expected to make a deep run 9 years ago, believe it or not, the Diamond Stone, sophomore Trimble, Robert Carter, Suleiman, that crew. I mean, they made the Sweet 16 barely. And then Kansas, Jake Layman was on that team. They got housed by Kansas and they haven't been in the Sweet 16 since. And Turgeon's long gone.
Right. And those early exits, or I guess even before the tournament, you look at the end of the regular season when February turns to March. Under Turgeon, that's when the team would really start to crumble. And you mentioned the COVID year team. They had a little bit of a slip up towards the end, but they regrouped, of course, won that final game to secure the share of the conference title. they didn't even get a chance to play the conference tournament. And I'm not going to say that was more intriguing to me than, you know, March Madness, because that stands on its own. But one of my biggest gripes throughout the Turgeon era was all the early exits in the conference tournament. I mean, it's hard to make a Final Four. It's hard to make a Sweet 16.
Sure.
How about, you know, you can hang a banner for a conference title. If you win one of those, that's worth quite a bit, at least to me as a fan. I'd celebrate that greatly. We celebrated the regular season title. So it doesn't always have to be about Final Fours and Elite Eights. You can win elsewhere. You can get big program milestones elsewhere.
And look, I know recruiting has changed dramatically in the last 3-4 years with the NIL, but having as many banners stating accomplishment, it's a good thing. Hey, look at this. Mm-hmm. Look at that. See Joe Smith? Look at Steve Francis over there. There's Walt Williams. Your name could be there too.
Right.
I mean, those are things that you could use as a recruiting tool. But this year's team, better than last year, we assume. But 2 years ago, they got off to this brilliant start and then really hit the skids, especially offensively, once they got into conference play. And yeah, hey, they won a game, beat West Virginia, where they lost to Alabama in one of those always exciting 10:30 Saturday tips. I think this team has some potential, but I'm still going to, you know, I'm not putting them in the Sweet 16 just yet, not putting them in the NIT, but I'm excited about the possibilities, shall we say, for this year's ball club.
Right, I think that's fair. And to me, it's all about next week. I mean, you got two games here. You got to take care of business against Bucknell, Alcorn State on Sunday. But then that first taste of the Big Ten, number 13 Purdue on the road. I mean, who knows where they're going to be ranked by the time we get to that matchup, but that's a huge test. Ohio State at home, going to be a test. So, I mean, I believe in this roster. I like the way it's shaping up. They appear to be getting more comfortable every time they get out there, but those initial conference games, they can be very tricky more often than not.
And I like the athleticism. I like the up-tempo style that Kevin Willard's trying to implement with the personnel that he has. And when you have a stud and Derek Queen and Julian Reese is a proven senior leader there as well. Hey, Reese was kind of the dude in the first half of that Villanova game and got a couple of hoops early in the second half. So let's not forget, he's coming off a double-double performance himself here
right. This
past weekend.
And if there was a concern for me in that game, as great as Queen and Reese were down low and them finally meshing together and having dominant performances in the same game, that's great. The bench, though, still a big question mark. Probably always going to be a question mark early in the season, but it didn't really play a lot of guys off the bench in that game, limited minutes. It still feels like he's working out rotations. Feels like he doesn't know what to do with Deshaun Harris-Smith. If I was in his shoes, I don't know what I would do. I mean, it's a really tough situation. But that's what's going to be the difference between a deep run or not, is how deep your bench is. You can have the most talented starting five in the country. That's only going to take you so far. When you're playing these bruising conference games in late February, early March, you're beat up, you're tired. Derek Queen, hopefully not, but might hit a freshman wall at some point just from a workload standpoint. You got to have good bench players, and right now, just a lot of question marks.
Well, I like the way Malachi Palmer's trending up, however, to that point, and Jay Young looks like a guy that could be an asset off the bench. And Harris Smith, that's a tough one. A year ago, hey, he's 1 and done, 2 and done, tops. I didn't even start. And his offensive game is extremely, extremely limited. So there was upside at the high school level. Haven't seen it much so far at the collegiate level. Now, Big Ten basketball today. Indiana's ranked number 14. Not for long. Louisville is beating the you-know-what out of them. Battle for Atlantis. Yes, they're playing underwater today, everyone. Who's the guy with the trident?
King Neptune.
King Neptune. 74-40. Let me repeat. The 14th ranked team in the country. This is a Daryl Griffiths Louisville Cardinals, or never nervous Purvis, or whomever. All the great players they've had. 74-40 with 9 minutes left in the game. So Indiana, I'm just going to say they're going to plummet in the rankings here, the way this is going. And look, Mike Woodson's one of the best players ever played for Bob Knight at Indiana, and he's recruited well, and they do have talent But that's a guy that takes a lot of heat for his coaching. He coached at the NBA level, let's not forget. But for there's a disconnect between his X's and O's and the talent pool that he brings in, and 34-point drubbings to an unranked Louisville. It's not a good look right now, even though it's only, air quotes, November. This is a bad, bad loss.
Right. Does this say more about, I mean, them for the bad loss, or how about Louisville?
Sure.
I mean, talk about a program in rebuild. They've been absolutely abysmal the last couple of years, hitting rock bottom. I just pulled up their schedule here. You got, I mean, what a run. Playing number 14, Indiana. Up next, number 23, Ole Miss. Then number 11, Duke after that. No rest for them at all. They already played number 12, Tennessee. They lost that one. Is Louisville back? Hard to say after one good win, but maybe these next two games will reveal more.
Yeah, Pat Kelsey's the new coach, came from a College of Charleston, and you know the basketball history is certainly there, and we'll see if they can relive it at some point, but they're reliving it today. I mean, they are just hammer time in Indiana. Orioles didn't get Blake Snell because he signed with the Dodgers, but are you more confident, Nolan, that the Corbin Burns door hasn't closed 100% to come back to the Charm City? Because according to MLB Network, the Orioles are one of the teams in on Blake Snell, and as we were talking off the air, apparently they're one of the teams in on Nathan Eovaldi here.
Yeah, it seems like John Morosi's got all these reports. He must be tapped in somewhere with the Orioles with all these, you know, reports of interest.
Correct.
Does that mean a lot at this stage of the offseason? No. Is it fun to get excited about it? Absolutely. When was the last time Orioles fans could be truly excited about being in on multiple big-ticket starting pitchers? I can't think of a time where they were legit contenders for multiple guys like that. And it makes me optimistic that they can retain a Corbin Burns. And we talked about it all season long. It was almost at a certain point that everyone was just resigned to the fact that he was leaving. And there was nothing the Orioles could possibly do to keep him here financially or whatever. They could make their best pitch. He was still going to go elsewhere. With the Dodgers already spending that money on Snell, they could still be in on Burns. But I just think that that might be their big ticket at pitcher. And they'll look to retain or maybe replace a Teoscar Hernandez in the lineup, spend some money there. I really think this bodes well for the Orioles because prior to the Snell move, again, it was a Morosi report. Of course, there's broad interest across the league in Burns. Everyone would love Corbin Burns. Who wouldn't? But the two teams, according to Morosi, that had separated themselves from the pack were the Dodgers and the Orioles. Mm. And to me, that was very encouraging. Just to have the Orioles' name next to the Dodgers in contention for a big-ticket free agent, to me, that was very exciting.
Yeah, and we've said it before, the Orioles need a starting pitcher or two, both of high quality, for sure, and a right-handed hitting outfielder with pop and defensive capabilities. And I talked about it was Monday or Tuesday, where Austin Hayes, first half of 2023, Austin Hayes is exactly what the Orioles need. But he hasn't been first half of 23 Austin Hayes, Nolan, since you guessed it, the first half of 2023. But he's out there. Maybe a touching reunion could be in order. But they definitely need a right-handed bat. They're going to move the walls in a little bit to make it more accommodating. Maybe this means Ryan Mountcastle sticks around. Kobe Mayo's got to fit in somewhere. I mean, Mike Elias, this is a big offseason for him. Rebuild's over. This is all about getting to World Series, winning playoff series. Been in the playoffs 2 years in a row. They haven't been in the playoffs 3 years in a row since 1969 through 1971. And that's one of the greatest teams in baseball history. So, Mike Elias, you're up. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw will come back, take a trip to the Funhouse. Then Inside Access takes over at 2, followed by Maryland Hoops.
Vinny watched the games from the owner's box. Haney sat with Wild Bill Hagee.
Come on, Ken! Put it in the bullpen!
Vinny and Haney.
Come on, Al! Hit a home run now!
105.7 The Fan.
For our younger listeners, Wild Bill Hagee, big cheerleader for the Orioles. Colts fan, too, by the way. But Ken is Ken Singleton. Come on, Ken. Hit it in the bullpen. Which he did. And come on, Al. Hit a home run now. Was Al Bumbry. the B. Two Oriole Hall of Famers, two All-Stars, two World Champions. Forever remembered, and rightfully so, as Oriole legends, man.
Now, was there a rhyme for everyone in the lineup, or was it just where it was applicable?
Or where it worked? I'm sure he had more, but when Wild Bill was in full effect at Memorial Stadium, I kind of wasn't old enough to drink. I mean, we're talking like late 70s, early 80s, I was drinking, full disclosure. But Wild Bill and I became friends, and he used to come on with me when I was at WNST in studio. And yes, we did knock back a few cold ones, but not in that setting. But Wild Bill drove a cab, but became a celebrity. He was on like Good Morning America or the World News Tonight. He became that dude. He was almost as prominent in the 79 World Series as the Pirates and the Orioles were. But Wild Bill, rest in peace, passed away a few years back. So if you're wondering what the hell that is, that's the great Wild Bill Hagee. So Google him. You know, Google can help you in your quest for knowledge. I mean, I can only teach you so much based on what I recall from Baltimore sports history. But you Google some things, and you'd be surprised at what you learned, as a matter of fact. So, Nolan, what's up for Thanksgiving here?
Nothing extravagant. Just going up to the aunt and uncle's place tomorrow. They're up in Hanover, so it'll be a little bit of a trek. But the food will be fantastic, as always. We just operate with kind of the core staples, since it's a little bit of a lighter crowd. We don't have a giant spread, but you got your turkey, your stuffing, mashed potatoes. Well, maybe mac and cheese, I don't know.
Maybe and cheese? Hello?
I don't know if it'll be there tomorrow. That's the thing. Growing up, I still consider it a staple. It was a staple at every holiday, not just Thanksgiving. But recent years, with size of who's at the table and everything, numbers have kind of dwindled. So I don't know if mac and cheese will be there tomorrow, but it's always there in spirit.
Yeah, I think tomorrow, my wife cooks, so we do it at the old Haney household. But my mom, sister, brother-in-law, nephew, I think that's it. I think it's only going to be like seven of us. But the perfect Thanksgiving plate for the old Bobster here. Turkey, stuffing, gravy, mashed potatoes, mac and cheese, and sauerkraut with sausage. Bring it on. Not a big cranberry saucer. Do like green bean casserole, and I will eat it. Coleslaw. My wife likes coleslaw with the spread. That's more for the next day plate.
Right. Well, I love coleslaw, but I never associate that with Thanksgiving.
We have it.
Is it like is it the vinegar kind or the creamy kind?
It's in between.
Okay.
Yeah. But and the hot rolls, pumpkin pie, apple pie, Alamo, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, of course, endless supply of Mick Ultras.
Right.
And sour berry and lemonade
no
shots.
No work on Friday.
Oh, I'm off on Saturday. Today. Then I'll do game day Sunday, but the kid, he's gonzo for next week. Ravens are on bye next week. And as I like to say, don't call me. I'll call you.
Yeah, you disconnect your phone. I tried to call you last time.
No. It don't work.
This number's out of service.
Here's where I talk. From 10 to 2, Monday through Friday. Everything else, you send me a text. I will eventually get back to you. But that's enough of me being an antisocial a-hole, Nolan. Let's go to the finals over there.
Quick draws.
I mean, I don't bother you at your house.
The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Start with a question here from Chris. Looking back over the Ravens season so far, which Ravens loss was worse? The Raiders or the Browns? Both, you believe, you're favored by double digits in both of them. He says here, at least there's some division familiarity with the Browns. Maybe an excuse there. Not so much for the Raiders.
I mean, the Browns beat them in Baltimore last year. That was with Deshaun Watson, who was great in the second half. And then I think his arm fell off when they were on the plane back to Cleveland. I mean, you can't be losing to Gardner Minshew twice in a row at home in two different teams. They're both going to come back to sting them, I would think, eventually. That's why the margin for error, you can't lose at home anymore, which they've already done. But I guess it's Cleveland's the most recent one. I'll go with that one. But the Pittsburgh loss still sucks, too, because turnovers, missed field goals, 12 penalties. And they haven't really been beaten at all.
Another texter here says, are we overlooking Adafe Owe's season a little bit? His sacks have come in bunches with some down weeks in between, but already having 8 through 12 weeks is better than I anticipated. Does he need to have more consistency to earn the long-term deal, or is sack volume good enough?
I think sack volume certainly helps because that's what you take in negotiating. And that's what they use against you when they're negotiating the contract with the agent. But consistency would be great. This is a guy that had 13 sacks for his career coming into the season, and he has 8. He's starting to pile them up here. I mean, Van Noy had 6 of his in the first month of the season. Always starting to get a little more aggressive. He's starting to get home a little bit more. You're starting to see him 99 each and every game. So I'm very encouraged by it's like him and Bateman. Like, oh, all of a sudden, light's starting to come on a little bit for both of them. But Nolan, as you know, and our listeners know, there's only so much money you can spend. So eventually, who's going to get it? I know they redid Bateman's deal. But if Owe wants to get cake, maybe they get, if he plays well again, they just franchise him, I would assume, at a high price tag.
Right. And that kind of is the good news with the fifth-year option. You know you've already got that coming next year. Usually when we're talking about Baltimore pass rushers, they have that career year, which so far this is a career year for Owe. They have that on their way out the door. At least you know you're going to have him for next year. Can't say that about everyone.
He's going to be huge for them down the stretch, Owe. Better be.
Got one here from Howard, a prediction for Ravens-Eagles, says the Ravens 7-1 in December the past 2 years. Most of the time, they have everything clicking by this time of the year. I believe that this will be another case of Lamar putting on a show against an NFC opponent. Meanwhile, the Ravens defense showing that they can get it together a little bit. His score here, Ravens 34-27.
Yeah, high scoring game. I'm more of the low scoring variety, 23-20. Like, I think Jalen Hurts is a hell of a player, because he can beat you with his arms and his legs. He has 11 touchdowns running the football. A.J. Brown, I think, is a tough matchup for that Ravens secondary. But they've been sacked. Eagles quarterbacks, Hurts 29 times. Pickett 1. They can get to the quarterback. I think that might be a huge part, going back to Owe, a huge part of Sunday's game.
And maybe another thing to keep it low scoring, if both teams are running wild and having success, that clock's going to be clicking the whole day. I mean, this could be a super fast game here.
Heavyweight matchup, Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson, but with actual punches being thrown. It's Vinny at 80, 105.7 The Fan. That's going to do it for us. I'll be back when I get back, which will probably be a week from Monday, unless I win the Mega Millions or Powerball, and then you're never going to hear from me again. I will delete my Facebook page, and that'll be that. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Inside Access coming up next, followed by Maryland basketball. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Stay safe, stay healthy. We'll talk to you when we talk.